So he has taught me lessons of love, lessons of patience, lessons of trust. Even, you know, it's easy to trust when you have. It's easy to trust in systems that are there. But in Africa, you can trust even when you see nothing. And you just trust, you know, trusting, holding on nothing, but you still hold.
Heute heißt es Hello Rose. Schön, dass ihr dabei seid. Ich werde immer wieder gefragt, woher ich eigentlich die ganzen unterschiedlichen Leute für meinen Podcast kriege. Und mittlerweile sind wirklich so 2/3 Gäste, die ich von Hörerinnen und Hörern empfohlen bekomme. Und das macht mich echt so ein bisschen stolz. Für die Folge hat sich jedenfalls die liebe Anna bei mir gemeldet. Die verbringt gerade zwischen Bachelor und Master eine Zeit in Uganda und arbeitet da im Angels Center mit. Das ist so eine Art Tagespflegestätte für Kinder mit besonderem Förderbedarf, also für Children with Special Needs. Man kann jetzt natürlich sagen, jo, kenne ich sowas, machen viele. In Uganda ist das aber echt was extrem Besonderes und es hat mich auch total schockiert, denn Menschen mit Behinderung werden dort als Vegetable, als Gemüse oder als Schlangen bezeichnet. Behinderungen hätten was mit Witchcraft, also mit Hexerei zu tun und die, die eine Behinderung haben, werden dort auch versteckt. Deswegen wissen viele in Uganda gar nicht, dass in ihrem Land Behinderungen überhaupt existieren. Das ist absolut krass und Anna wollte, dass ich mit ihrer Leiterin dort spreche, mit Rosemary Nambuse. Das Interview ist deswegen auch auf Englisch und Rose hat mich absolut beeindruckt. Sie kommt aus Uganda, lebt dort, ist verheiratet, hat 3 Kinder. Eins davon hat Down-Syndrom. Und 2010 war sie mit ihrem Sohn April schwanger. Da war sie gerade für ihr Masterstudium in Antwerpen. Und was diese Nachricht mit ihr gemacht hat und warum die Erfahrungen, obwohl sie in Uganda spielen, gar nicht so weit weg von uns sind, das erzählt sie euch jetzt selbst. Viel Spaß bei Hello Rose.
Years ago, I went through an experience of becoming a mother of a child with a disability, which in my own country is termed as a taboo. It's witchcraft. And to overcome all the stereotypes, to overcome the emotional pain as a mother of a child with a disability, that has built me further. It has taught me so much to stand in a society that disregards disability, to stand up and say, this is what I stand for. I know my child is not as a result of witchcraft. I can stand in for my son as a mother. That has been a strong stride I have taken in my community. I have been discriminated. I've been stigmatized, but that has not stopped me from letting my community know that disability is not witchcraft. Disability is not contagious. I have stood in the way of the cultural norms and values to disregard anything that is against disability, because I know our children have a right to be raised in the society where they belong. And they never cause the conditions themselves. They never wish to be in those conditions. So that has also built me. It has crushed me a lot. I was crushed at the mention of the word Down syndrome. I was frustrated. I hated anything because literally I didn't know how to raise my son.
I just want to stop you there before we talk about like the discrimination and the witchcraft and how you're people deal with that or do not deal with it. When you knew that you were to give birth to a child with disability, how did that feel for you?
I think I didn't know beforehand that I was carrying a child with disability. So for me, it was at birth when the news of the diagnosis were given to me. And that took me in a shock because I had never heard about Down syndrome, even me myself as a mother. So I literally didn't know how I'm going to deal with it. And what the diagnosis meant for me for the fight in my community to raise him.
So you haven't heard about Down syndrome before?
Yeah, I had never, with honesty.
Okay, why not? Are there no, well, people with Down syndrome in your country, or are they like hidden, or how does that happen?
It's a strong cultural taboo, very strong, like I told you. That even when we were growing up, we never saw these children with disabilities around this place. Apart from polio, we would see children with polio, but beyond that, intellectual disabilities, we could hardly see those children. So as a mother who has been raised from a country by the mention of the diagnosis of the news, that threw me deep. I was broken in pieces because literally I didn't know how I'm going to deal with it. You know, and beside that, I was wondering, well, how am I going to raise him? But again, how will my family look at this problem as well?
Were you in Uganda at that point?
At that point, I wasn't in Uganda, but I knew I had to come back to my home country. You know, and the fact that I knew I wasn't a Belgian, definitely the place where to raise my son was my home country, and that was Uganda. So that, you know, to be honest, my soul was crushed. I was crushed. I stopped thinking for a while, and I was simply wondering what the next step would be. And then, but I got, the good thing is, my son had various health complications, and the doctors really saw the shock in my eyes, the worry, the fear, the spite. And then I told them, I had never seen this. I've never heard about it. Then how am I meant to deal with it? I think that was the hardest thing. But again, the doctors told me this was universal. It wasn't about white blood or race and everything. And they tried to make calls in Uganda. And indeed, they were saying children with Down syndrome are there, but they are hidden. Then I started battling with the fact that, how will I hide my own son? So
you were thinking about hiding him in the first place?
Yes, because everyone else does the same.
So they keep them in like the flat, and they are not allowed to go out, or how does that work?
They tie them near trees, and they keep them in houses. They lock the houses so that the neighbors never see them, to attach witchcraft to their homes. I was wondering how I would do the same to my son. And that's why the more I got to understand about Down syndrome and other intellectual disability, the more I felt like I should stand in the gap for change. The more I was convinced that Uganda is my country and I should stand up.
Was there also a father involved?
Yes. Together with my husband, we were very ignorant, both of us. But the good thing was, when the doctors were giving us the diagnosis or the news, none of them mentioned anything like witchcraft. So
yeah, well, because it was Europe, right? And they didn't have that in mind.
Yes. So the doctors told us this is a typical medical condition, which can be managed through therapy, through medical care. So I think what is also important in my country is, what is the first information that you are given as a parent when you're having a child with a disability? Let me tell you, the first word that comes out of a health practitioner will either make you or break you, the two. So both of us were given the first information, because we kept on asking, what is do we have Down syndrome in Uganda? And the doctor said, yeah, this is universal, it's irrespective. And so by the time we came back and we told our families about the condition of our son, it was very clear in our minds as parents that this wasn't witchcraft. And so my husband told me that he came home first to let the families know what the kind of child we had. And our family members told us to keep it as a secret because a child represents a clan. And so the
you
problem...
You want to have a healthy clan and...
Exactly.
Represent.
Mm. Yeah. And... but this is what we had.
Mm.
And, you know, it became a family concern, but everyone told us that we needed to protect our baby and our neighbors should not know about it. Not because they hated him, but they didn't want to bring shame to the entire clan or family. And the next thing they saw, I was on TV talking about my son.
Back in Uganda.
And all the family members went into a coma, like shock.
How did that come? It's like the television station that opened to let people talk about it in public?
Yes. Because it was even a free program. Those days I was a very broke woman. All the monies we had was for the healthcare of our son. But I had fire in me. You know, there are three stages you go through when you get bad news. The first stage, you remain in coma and in shock. The second stage, you are like, what next? The third stage, I had fire in me to tell people the truth.
Oh, and that's so nice that you make up those stages because it's so true. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And that fire in me, I had to tell doctors in Belgium that I need to come back to Uganda because they had given me a longer stay, more 5 years of residence in Belgium and all other benefits, and you know, but that didn't stop me. I told the doctors, I need to go back to Uganda because the pain I went through and what I experienced and the information parents know in Uganda, I wanted to speak to someone to tell them, let's not believe in witchcraft, because you end up hating the whole family. You're wondering who did witchcraft to you. You hate everyone, and it is not true. So I came with a lot of fire, a lot. And every opportunity I got, I would talk about my son. And so that's when many people came to me, and every evening we had gatherings. After work, parents would come home with their children. That's how people opened up their doors, because now they wanted to relate with me. They had, you know, they had been in prison. You know, you put yourself in your own prison because of your...
Families with people, with children who have disabilities.
With disability, mm-hmm. Yes.
You said there were like two things. First, you said there were like people discriminating you and saying that, I don't know if it's it's witchcraft and something like that. And
yes.
Then on the other hand, people opened up and you kind of like cracked them, right?
Yeah, because when you talk about the problem we have as parents in Africa, you know, that's why the silence of disability has been so much. People want to hear from you the horse's mouth, you know?
Mm.
We always give people an opportunity to gossip.
Yeah, yeah.
Give them the real information instead of gossiping about you that, in that house, there's this child, he has this. Tell them that my son has this problem or my daughter, and this is how we are trying to manage.
But you know what?
They'll come to you.
It's really nice that you say that, because you said just it is an African problem, but I see that problem in Germany too and in European countries, that sometimes, especially in like villages and stuff like that, there are like families that hide things and hide disabilities or not run or hide when people are sick and something like that, because they don't want to share it, they're scared, and they don't want people to gossip about it. So they just keep it as a secret, which doesn't make it better in any way.
Exactly. Because the more I kept quiet about it, the more I was hurting and I was dying internally. When I decided to let it out, it was also healing for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was also healing for me. And through, you know, sharing the reality, I received the first 10 parents, and we talked and made various dialogues, and were asking ourselves how we are going to manage these children. And that was the formation of Angel Center for Children with Special Needs in Uganda. So 8 years down the road.
So together with other parents, you decided to open up this center.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A center for children with special needs, because we were thirsty to find a place where children would be brought to play, to interact and receive the services.
Yeah.
We were completely thirsty.
Yeah.
Because every parent this time wanted to find work to do, to stop hiding children in houses, but to find a space where you can, you know, bring your child, drop the child, go and work, come back, pick your child. Everyone was looking for a life to live.
Back then, when you were talking to those parents, did you have the feeling that they are like proud and love their children and learn a lot from them? Or did you have the feeling that it was more like kind of like a distance because they didn't want to feel it?
And for me, what I realized with parents is like opening a tap when 10 people are thirsty for one tap. The real people, the parents who are going through raising a child with disability, they were thirsty for the service. But the neighbors, you know, when you don't own the problem, you have a lot of judgment and opinion.
Yes.
So to the parents' word, you know, you can hide, but hiding someone for 10 years, you become a prisoner yourself. They were thirsty. I had parents who would simply say, "I didn't sleep the whole night. Just keep this child here. I go back in my house. I put my head to rest." You know? And we did that. And equally, even me, I had days, sleepless nights. And I would simply get my son to the center and I would hide somewhere to take a nap. So, you know, over the years, we are gaining, we are learning more from different volunteers, from different experiences of people. And today we are in the care of over 106 children.
Wow.
In our care.
I just want to go back
one
step before that. How hard or easy was it to open that center for children with special needs? Because I imagine it being a very, very hard thing to do.
Truthfully speaking, it was one of the hardest decisions I ever woke up and made, to say that we start up the center, because all the parents we started with in the beginning, everyone had physical energy, but not monetary, no money. You know,
yes.
The hearts were willing, and you know, hearts should always be willing, but also with funds.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, definitely.
And yes. And, you know, everyone was like, Rose, what should we do? Or what next? But before I came back to Uganda, we organized a fundraising dinner in Belgium. We called it Returning Abril Safe to Uganda. Mm-hmm. Because also Abril required some health equipment, like the CPAP machine.
He's your son, right?
Yes, he's my son, Abril. Mm-hmm. So Returning Abril Safe to Uganda was a campaign we held in Belgium, my former friends who are students, my former lecturers, the hospital where we were being treated. It was such a community that came together.
And you studied, sorry, I have to interrupt you. Did you study there in Belgium?
I was a student. I was doing my master's in globalization and development. And that was the time I also gave birth to Abre. So being a student and, of course, definitely I knew all the challenges of raising Abre in Uganda. And so having worked for NGOs, understanding how fundraising works, I had to set up a campaign.
Yes.
And one of the first campaign was I wrote an article. I even don't know where it is, but I wrote the first article about being a student mother with a child with disability in a foreign country, being a student mother. What a journey. Yeah. It was some article that I spoke my heart, what it meant to have a child with a disability. And my professor liked it so much. People read the article and gave some donations. Mm. And definitely also preparing to return home. We didn't have, our house wasn't complete. You know, it was a whole kind of preparation. But the whole thing was, I knew how difficult it was, but I had the fire to come back home.
Did you talk to the other parents then, like online, or how did you open them up? How did you track the people in Uganda when you were in Belgium?
I had to wait. I had the idea, Okay. Because as soon as I got my son with all the complications and understanding, definitely after the crying phase, the next phase was what to do. The only thing I wanted to confirm was the fact that they are Ugandans born with Down syndrome. Mm. Which fact was there? How to get their parents, I wasn't sure. But when they told me it's a common defect, children are there, my role was, first of all, to return Abril to Uganda safely. First of all, to have the funds to help me return this boy safe to Uganda and work with him. The second thing was, how do I get parents who are going through what I'm going through? And that's why in Africa, we do lots of social gatherings. And I would invite people for evening teas and I would talk about him. People who have a problem or knew other families who had a problem. You know, it didn't take me a lot of time. Actually, I was surprised. And I remembered how hard I cried, thinking that I'm the only one in this problem. Because up to today, I see so many children and I'm like, and every parent thinks he's the only one with Down syndrome. When they come to Angel Center, then they're like, oh my God, you know. So it for us to have numbers, it's not a big problem. Yeah, it's not a big, because, you know, Africa also has another thing. The population growth is high. The fertility rate is high, so also the numbers with disabilities are high. Mm. But also the mortality rates are high. So, yes.
You haven't received any support by your government, right?
No, Ugandan government, it's not yet a priority.
Yeah,
it's not yet a priority. We are trying to do advocacy, but again, if we put a lot of effort to the government of Uganda, it's draining.
Mm-hmm.
It's draining, and yet the problem is real. So we want to focus our efforts to places that will help us yield,
mm-hmm.
but not focus a lot with the Ugandan government, because you'll be frustrated, and yet the children badly need the service. Disability is real in Uganda. So we try to do, yes, the national advocacy, and we hope 10 years to come, our government will wake up and recognize that, because they have signed so many conventions on children's rights, rights to disability and everything. So we are waiting for the implementation.
So you said there are like more than 100 children in your center now. Is that correct?
Yes, under our care, because the center right now is very small. It can only accommodate between 30 to 25 children. But we do outreaches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the center is very small.
Is it like a daycare and school, or is it more like kind of like a playground?
It's a daycare. It's a daycare for early learning and rehabilitation services. When you bring your child here for enrollment, you receive early learning services, play, some writing, some learning. But again, you know, most of the challenges are intellectual. They need to receive therapy. Yeah, so it's a combination of two, but it's a daycare. Yeah, parents drop the children in the morning and then they pick them in the evening.
Pick them up in the afternoon. I believe that it's very hard and very tough in like many ways, but on the other hand, I believe that there must be a super lovely energy and like a very heartful energy. So what is it that your son teaches you the most?
Yeah, I think my son has taught me lessons even that I never learned in school. One of the greatest lessons he has taught me is to love, irrespective of any ability that you have, to love unconditionally. He has taught me the virtue of patience, being patient with situations and conditions. You can rush some things, but other things you can never rush them. So he has also, created, this extra energy in me. Defending him feels like every time he smiles at me, he gives me all this energy. That wake up, mom, this guy needs to survive in this country. So it has been a journey of two things. There has been frustration, but again, there is deeper joy. So he has taught me lessons of love, lessons of patience, lessons of trust. Even, it's easy to trust when you have. It's easy to trust in systems that are there. But in Africa, you can trust even when you see nothing. And you just trust, trusting, holding on nothing, but you still hold. And you're like, you will not die. I trust that God is going to give me. Even, there are things he has shaped the analysis of how I look at life.
That is so such an important message. And I think, although it's definitely so, so different in Africa, there are still so many things that are the same.
Yeah.
And when I hear you talking, and when I hear you talking about the messages and also patience and energy and trust, I think that's things we all need, no matter where we live and no matter what we have.
Exactly.
And maybe sometimes also a bit appreciation for what we do have already.
Exactly.
So do you think your work has not only changed you and your way of leading your life and your way of, living with all your heart, but also changed other people in your surrounding, other people in Uganda as well?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not about me anymore, and it's not about Abriel. It's about the community. It's about the children we serve. Angel Center is beyond Rose, because it's above me. I'm just the leader, and then we need to just push it out to the community. And we are setting up systems and structures that we hope they will stand a test of time. Like, we are building our own structure such that, we can raise our children, to receive the services that they need, and in future to be employed in the same organization where we can provide that safe place for them to flourish and explore their potential. So it's not about me. I feel it has grown beyond. Yeah, it's now out there. It's about the people now we are serving. And that's...
Do you think something has changed in the way people think about children with special needs and about that witchcraft topic? Do you think that has shifted in a way?
A lot. There has been a change. Why I say there has been a change? Because we're receiving some support from the local people. And then two, in some communities it's still difficult, but at least parents are able to use public means without, you know, chasing them away, you know, that you're carrying someone who is indifferent. Mm. And before, parents would complain, like, you get into a taxi with other people and people simply stand up and get out of the taxi because you have a child with a disability. I think there has been a shift in especially urban area, but in the rural areas, the mindset is still there. And then too, for me, what I see is the fact that a parent holds his or her child with a smile and knowing that this is what I have and I should rejoice in it. For me, the greatest shift has also been to the parents themselves, because many times we think about the child, we forget the caretakers and the caretakers who are with the parents. Because when you see my son, he doesn't know that he has Down syndrome. I carry the Down syndrome for him. So how is Rose as a caretaker helped, you know, in her responsibility as a mother, you know? Mm. Because Abril never understands the stigma in the neighborhood. Even when they say it is contagious, he will continue to smile at you, you know, and maybe close the door behind him. But to me, the mother, it breaks me. So for me, the shift, I can see the impact is first me, myself, how I've learned to cope with raising my own is one of the greatest things I have learned after implementing Angel Center.
Yeah. And they are like pure, innocent human beings.
Exactly. They smile at you all the time, yes, irrespective.
I know. And they don't fear... Yeah. Touching other people.
Hugging.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what so many people have lost, actually. What is it that you think we can all learn from children with special needs?
I think they bring a different feel of the world. They break the protocol of the world and they bring in the joy. You know, and to me, that means a lot. Irrespective of how they are feeling, they don't care. They will smile, they will hug. They bring life into the community. Mm. And that is very important. People are too busy, people are too serious with life, and with them, life is just, you know, hello, mama. I love you, mommy. Even when you feel it, the love is not there, he will tell you, I love you, mommy. Mm. And for me, that means so much.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, they bring a different perspective to life. And that is quite important.
I could talk to you for ages, but I have to come to an end. So,
thank you.
So one last question. If you had to pick your biggest learning in life, what is it and how can others profit from that?
I think my greatest lesson in life is learning how to stand for what you think is right. And it doesn't need money, it needs the will. Where the will is, other things will follow. That's what I've learned.
Oh, that's beautiful. You are, to me, you are a true fighter with a very big, 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 big heart. And thank you so much for all those super important messages, which are, I think, universal. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Yara, for having me this evening.
Das war Hello Rose. Ich hoffe, euch hat die Folge gefallen. Und ich habe es ja schon gesagt, aber ich bin echt jedes Mal beeindruckt, wenn ich mit Menschen wie Rose spreche, die für so eine große Sache kämpfen, mit ganz viel Herz dabei sind und eigentlich dadurch nicht nur viel geben, sondern selbst auch noch mehr Energie bekommen. Alle Infos zum Angel Center habe ich in die Shownotes gepackt und man kann sich dort auch auf ganz unterschiedliche Weise einbringen. Ich freue mich, wenn ihr mal vorbeischaut und die Folge und Rose Geschichte mit euren Freunden teilt. Bis nächste Woche bei Hello Yara.